So I've been talking about wanting to get back in with nature. I want to raise a garden. I want to grow things with my hands. I want to be more natural, more organic, more healthy. I want a homestead. I want chickens. I can have my own eggs. Plus, they're really cute running around the yard. I need a cow because then we could have fresh milk. And I need some goats. One, because they're really funny to watch. And two, we could make soap and cheese and all the other things. Okay, let's do this. So, where do we start? Bread. I'm gonna make bread. Let's make sourdough. So, I get equal amounts. I get my kitchen scale and I put a glass mason jar on there, a wide mouth one, and I put it on the scale and I take a little Sharpie and I write the amount of grams that it weighs on the bottom. I tear it out so it's back to zero. I put equal amounts of flour and water in there and I whip it up really good because you want to get air in there. And I sit it on the counter and go. It doesn't do anything. How long does this take? It's supposed to take 7 to 10 days. Okay. So it says tomorrow you're supposed to just stir it. Okay. So day two, I stir it. Day three, I do what the instructions say. And day four, you take out half of it, discard it, and add water and flour back. I got my scale out every time. Measure very precise, very accurate measurements. I got this. I can do this, right? So we go on and on and on and on and on. 7 to 10 days later, nothing, nothing. I still have a jar of flour and water. That smells atrocious, okay? It smelled disgusting. It was like walking into a locker room. Oh my gosh. So when this happens, what do? You read up on things, right? Okay, so everything I read, this is normal. Doesn't smell normal to me. So I continue the process until I get uber frustrated and leave it alone. What happens when I leave it alone? Oh, it starts growing fuzz. Ew, gross. It did not work for me at all. I got frustrated. What do when you get frustrated? How do you react? Are you proactive or are you reactive? That's what we've always been taught, right? You're supposed to be proactive, not reactive. Hey, welcome to my podcast. This is Unscripted Conversations with Ashley. And let's talk about stuff. What do when you get in a heated situation, when you're frustrated, when you're at wit's end? What do? How do you handle that? Well, there are a lot of ways that we're supposed to handle that, but we don't always do exactly what we're supposed to. Mother Teresa said, "If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are." And she also said, "It's not how much we love, it's how much love we put in it." I was pouring my heart out into this starter. I had a plan. Well, we talked about that before. What happens when you have a plan? Everything goes exactly according to plan, right? No. I've always heard if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. Humility is one of the hardest virtues. It's hard to be humble. We always have big plans and big visions, but then there's reality that kicks in. Like Sam and I move into this house. We love it. We built the house, 5 acres. Oh, we're going to do a 2-car garage. It's going to be right here. We're going to have a patio. We're going to put a pool in. We're going to have a garden with a little garden shed. And dare I say it again, we're going to have chickens and a cow and a fainting goat. And we've got all these plans and reality sets in. That's one of the toughest pills to swallow. You're so excited. You've made your plans. You have so much pride in what you're going to do with your plan. You're so excited when it is successful. But then when it fails, How do you react? Do you blame somebody else? Do you lash out at somebody? Many times we are sitting there and we're waiting on God, but you know what? In all actuality, He's waiting on us. God says, well, I understand that you had a plan, but did you ask me about your plan? Did you ask me how things were going to go? Because as of right now, we do not have a 2-car garage. We do not have a patio on the back. We do not have a pool. There is no gardens. We did a garden last year. We already talked about that. It failed. But after a bazillion retries, we did not give up. It thrived and we got a lot of stuff out of our garden. But it was work. It wasn't easy. Reality set in. We had a plan. We knew exactly what was going to happen. And here comes reality. Boom! It's like a door slamming in your face. There's a big difference between pride and humility. Pride is bad. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. Pride hides. One of the biggest things that show our humility or pride is how we treat others. So this goes back to, how do you react to a situation? Our garden failed. Well, Sam, you didn't fertilize it. Or Sam, you didn't pull the weeds out. Or you didn't buy the right seeds. Why would I be lashing out at him? This was a two-way street. We did this together. Pride versus humility. Sometimes it's a touchy subject. Do you blame others for something, or are you humble? Do you accept responsibility? Now, I'm going to say something, and y'all tell me if I'm wrong down in the comments. How hard is it to say, I'm sorry? How hard is it to admit that you were wrong about something? Well, I said I was wrong last time, so I'm not saying it again. And well, she's just being stubborn and hard-headed, and I've tried to talk to her and she won't come talk to me. So whatever, it's on her. How many times do we say that? Do we act like that? That is pride. That is pride. It doesn't matter how many times somebody does you wrong. You go to them. You talk to them. You ask for forgiveness. You say, I'm sorry. Even if they got more issues than Vogue, don't judge, bad. You go to them and you act like you're supposed to and you apologize. Do you think down on others? Do you judge them? Do you criticize them? Do you gossip? Do you know that one of the biggest things God cares about is your heart? It's your heart. It's your reasoning behind what you do, how you act, how you love. Just like I said earlier, Mother Teresa, it's not how much we love, it's how much love we put into it. The second thing God cares a whole lot about are the words that you put out into the world. We've talked about this multiple times. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruits of the Spirit. How much crime would be in this world? How much backstabbing and gossip and looking down or judging would be in this world if we lived by the fruits of the Spirit? What is the second greatest command? Love your neighbor. Joy. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Patience. I struggle with patience. Oh boy, I have the patience of Job when I am fishing, but anything else? Nope, none. And do you know it's really funny that we say the patience of Job? Because if you actually read the story about Job, he had like negative 85 in patience. He was not a patient at all, but you know, that's okay. Kindness. Just be kind. Sprinkle that everywhere. I have put it on signs, on t-shirts, on a sticker on the car. Just be kind. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we all lived like we're supposed to, like Jesus set an example with the fruits of the Spirit, imagine how amazing this world would be. Life's funny. You know, you really don't truly know anything until you're around 40 or 50 years old, maybe even 60 or 70 years old. You go through stuff. It hurts. From anything from stubbing your pinky toe on the coffee table, which I think that's the only reason why we have pinky toes is to locate furniture. But from that all the way up to getting your heart broken, whether it's by a significant other, whether it's by a daughter, a son, a mother, a father, anybody, when you get your heart broken, it hurts. When you lose somebody that you love, it hurts. Some things that hurt you the most, they actually teach you more than anything. They keep us in check. They keep us humble. When you are on the top of that mountain, you're just beaming from ear to ear. You are confident. You're arrogant. You are just, oh, happy day. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But don't be prideful. Don't rub it in somebody else's face. Don't be jealous. Well, that's my friend, and we graduated from the same high school, and I had better grades than she did, and I was athletic, but she gets the scholarship, she goes to college, she gets the perfect boyfriend, which turns into her husband, has the wonderful two kids, a boy and a girl, lives in the perfect house with the white picket fence, has a little dog, you know, she just has the perfect life, has the perfect job. Her husband has the perfect job. Why do they get everything? I am doing the same thing. Why don't I have that stuff? Stop. Stop right there. Do not be jealous. What have you done? Instead of looking down on her and being jealous of what she has, what have you done to obtain that? Be humble. Be happy for your friend. Girl, you got it going on. I am so proud of you. Congratulations. Just be kind. Love your friend. Show joy because she has done so well. Be peaceful inside. Not jealous. Peaceful. Be humble. What can you do to succeed? What can you do to change your life? Oh, I just had the worst luck ever. Oh my gosh. Every single day when I'm leaving work, coming home for lunch, you know, I tell you all the time, I only get an hour on my lunch break. It takes 15 minutes to drive both ways. There's 30 minutes gone. And I take Xena Grace out to go potty. That takes 15 or 20 minutes. So I roughly have 10 to 15 minutes inside to fix my lunch, eat it, fix supper, and get back to work. It never fails. Every single day, almost every single day, I'm being extra right now and over-exaggerating, but you get my point. Every single day, I get behind somebody going 10 to 15 miles under the speed limit. Like, hello, can you move? I have got to get home, do everything I have to do, and get back to work. You're putting me behind. Stop. You're not supposed to think like that. You are not supposed to act like that. It's hard sometimes. Humility is hard. Being humble is hard. It takes a lot to say, I'm sorry. It takes a lot to say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. The person in front of me, maybe they don't drive very well, and that is a safe speed for them, and this is the way that they drive, and I should not be rushed. Why do we need to rush? Have you ever put a puzzle together? Do you do puzzles? I used to a long time ago, but not so much anymore, because what do? You go to the store or you find a puzzle and you're like, oh, this has got a pretty picture on the front of it. I want to put this puzzle together. So you grab the puzzle and every single puzzle almost has got two main colors. Most of them that I have done have a sky and grass. And then there's a little bitty tree on there with a little bitty house. And it looks gorgeous. Thomas Kincaid is one of my favorites. I love his puzzles. But a 2,000 piece puzzle with 85,000 pieces that are blue and the other 25,000 are green. Well, it could be leaves on the tree. It could be the grass. And you dump the puzzle out, you start looking through the pieces, and you're like, oh boy, what was I thinking? What have I done? Have I bumped my head? It's okay. I like a challenge, right? So you start and what do? You separate all the pieces. Well, these pieces are straight on one side. So that means they're the outside. So that's the easiest. So we separate all those out. Well, then I'm going to take all the blue pieces and put them on this side. And then I'm going to take all the green pieces because they're probably grass. They're going to go on this side. And you work it out, right? You get a plan. You get a plan of how you're going to tackle this puzzle. And so you put the outline out and you got the outside. The square is formed. Excuse me, most time it's a rectangle, but you know, the outside is formed. Done. Okay. Where do we go from here? You're looking at a big, huge pile of blue pieces. There's some light blue, some dark blue, some light and dark blue. There's a bunch more light and dark blue pieces. Where do you start? What about on this side? What if we start at the bottom, all these greens? Well, that's about the same amount, and there's some dark greens and light greens, and oh, these have a couple of yellow pieces in it. Are there any on the outside that have a little bit of yellow on them? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You think, oh my goodness, like, what was I thinking? I have all these pieces of the puzzle, and you feel like quitting before you even really get started. It's the same old thing. Blue, 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 green, green, green. It's the same. And you just want to throw your hands up in there and say, oh, never mind. Forget the puzzle. Just like your life. Sometimes in life, you do the same thing day after day after day after day. Don't give up. If you have a thought in your head, if you have a plan in your mind, if something has been put on your heart and it's just not working out, don't give up. God has a plan for you. You just haven't gotten it yet. It'll come. Just like I said earlier, have you asked for God's help? Many times we're sitting there waiting on God, but in all actuality, He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Have you asked? God says, hello, you want the goats and chickens? Have you asked? Yes, I've asked a bazillion times, but my husband is the biggest procrastinator and he's not built me a shed or a shelter for them yet. In his defense, I'll think about one in a minute. That's not being humble. I'm not being humble. Pride is thinking more of yourself than others. Going back to saying I'm sorry and winning an argument. We always think our opinion is the right one. I am so very thankful for Sam. Sam will wash the sheets. He'll fold them. Yes, he can fold a fitted sheet. Woohoo! Go, Sam. He changes the sheets on the bed. Does he do it exactly like I do it? No. Does he fold the sheets like I do it? No. I like to fold them inside out so that when you unfold it, you're literally making up the bed as you unfold it. He doesn't do that, but that's okay. Do you think I'm going to go and say, please don't fold the sheets. I don't like the way you fold them. You don't make up the bed like it's supposed to be. Who am I to judge? Instead, I say, thank you. Thank you for helping me by washing and folding the sheets and putting them up. Thank you for changing the sheets on the bed. Do I secretly pick up the bedspread and do that nice, neat nurse corner fold? Yes, I do, but he'll never know. Philippians 2:5 tells us you must have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. Don't think more of yourself than others. Why is your opinion always right? Why is my opinion always wrong? Say you're sorry. The moment something bad pops in your head and it's like, oh my gosh, you're not folding that sheet right. Remove it. Replace it with something positive. Thank you for folding the sheet. I appreciate you. If you go one day, this is your homework. I'm going to give you homework. I'm never going to know if you do it or not. So we'll just gonna pretend that you do. This is your homework. One day, today, you can start. You can start tomorrow. Don't put it off either today or tomorrow. That's it. Every single time a negative thought pops into your head, I want you to immediately replace it with something positive. Immediately. I want you to do it every single time for one day, one whole day. If you're awake for 12 hours, do it. And then I want you to do it the next day. And I want you to do it the next day after that. And I want you to develop a habit. where anytime a thought pops into your head, you replace it with something good, something positive. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Be humble. Let somebody else win the fight. Let somebody else give you their opinion. It is okay. It might not be the way you do it, but who's to say that your way is the right way? I'm going to end on this little funny story. You know how everybody always says, oh my gosh, I am my mother. Lucky for me, my mom's is an amazing person. If I am half the woman that she is, I am blessed. But this isn't about me. We're going to talk about Sam. So growing up, Cameron always cut the grass. Philip wanted to learn how to cut the grass because Cameron got his driver's license and Cameron had to go to work. So Philip needed to learn how to cut the grass. And for 5 years, I had a $99 push mower from the Walmart. And that was the best push mower ever. But Sam comes over and he's going to cut the grass and he's going to show Philip a thing or two. And Sam looks at me and says, when was the last time you changed the oil? Have you changed the oil in it? And here I go. Am I supposed to change the oil in the lawnmower? He said, oh boy. Yes, I didn't know that. I know that now. Yes, I get my oil changed in my car all the time. Never even considered the lawnmower. Okay. Yeah, my bad. So we won't even talk about that or what came out and what it looked like when he changed the oil. Anyways, so Philip wanted to learn how to cut the grass. Well, he did a good job and, you know, Sam would weed eat and Philip would cut and our yard was tiny. So it probably took 20 minutes to push cut the whole thing. It wasn't that big. So the first couple of times, Philip was like, oh, this is cool. I get to cut the grass. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder how long that'll last. You get to push the push mower in 100 degree weather. Have fun, kid. So it didn't last long. 4 or 5 more times, you know, Sam's at work. I'm at work. And we're like, hey, P, I need you to cut the grass while we're gone. And it better be done by the time I get home. You know, mama got to step in. It better be done by the time I get home. And don't even try to start at 4:40 because I get off at 5. So we get home. Sam gets home first because he gets off earlier. Sam gets home and he was fussing. And I get home and I'm like, what is going on? He puts his hands on his hip and says, look at the yard. Do you see the yard? Look at the yard. He just cut it. He didn't do it. I asked him to double cut it and he didn't even do that. And I'm just sitting here looking at Sam. And so Sam said, you know what? I'm going to get the lawnmower and I'm going to recut the grass. And at that moment, as soon as that came out of his mouth, Sam stopped and he said, oh, I am David Finch. He said, oh my gosh, I am my father. Funny story, right? It hits us at the weirdest times. It's like, oh my gosh, I am my mother. I am my father, which is great. But it, like I said, it takes a while. You have to get up in age a little bit and to be able to experience those things. Kids don't get it. The only thing he saw was, hey, I did it. I cut the grass. You didn't tell me to do it in any certain way, but it's cut. It's done. That's it. I don't care. You have to take pride in your work, right? But don't be too prideful. There's a big difference. Be humble. So instead of lashing out at Philip and recutting the grass, Sam says, hey, good job, buddy. I appreciate you cutting the grass. But next time, I need you to do it correctly. Remember your homework. Every single time a negative thought comes into your head, I want you to replace it with something positive. Start right now. Come back here in a week and let me know how you're doing. Hashtag positive challenge. Can you do it? All right, y'all. Thank you so much for hopping on with me and talking about a little bit of humility. I appreciate each one of y'all and make sure you hit that like, follow, and I'll see y'all next week. Thanks, y'all.